الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Today inshallah after we had discussed shed some light on the person of Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, and we try to explain, give a general view of what the book looks like, Al-Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, mentioning its real name, Al-Arba'un fi Mabani al-Islam wa Qawaid al-Ahkam of Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. Today inshallah we will be discussing the Muqaddimah of Al-Imam al-Nawawi himself to the book. And like we said last week, most of the people who print Al-Arba'un of al-Nawawi, they do not usually attach a Muqaddimah. Sometimes, why? People say, but there are weaknesses. Abu Dawud are calling only ahadith al-Sahiha. Some say, no, but there are ahadith that are da'ifa in Sunnah. So the muqaddimah of books, or the books written, or the comments of the scholar at the end of the book, because some of them put such things at the end. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi that we mentioned, his book, al-Tirmidhi. It is in this book that he explained most of what he did in the book, and he gave the meanings to some of the things that he had not explained in the book. So this was the style of scholars in the past. So their muqaddimah shed light on some of those that we had mentioned. Why they wrote the book, what they have compiled in the book, and their style of compiling what they have compiled. So it brings the person reading the book closer to the book before he goes to the book. This is very, very important. So because of that, inshallah, we'll read from the Muqaddimah of Al-Imam al-Nawawi himself to his Arba'un. He said, alayhi rahmatullah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He gave praises. He said, all praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbil alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. Al-alam, al-alameen. Rabbil alameen, Allah is Rabbul alameen. He said, Qayyum al-samawati wal-ardeen, aw wal-ardeen. The two are correct. He said, Allah is Qayyum al-samawati wal-ardeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, like he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-qa'imu bitadbi khalqihi wa hibrihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yumu samawat. That is, he created the heaven and earth, and besides that, he subhanahu wa ta'ala, he takes care of them. He protects them, he sustains them. He's in charge of them. He created them and he's in charge of them. So he said, samawat, the heavens, Allah. Seven earths, them and he sustains. So he says to us again, subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَنْ تَزُولَ. Allah holds the heavens and the earth so that they can stay. That he held the heavens and the earth so that they can stay. It's something we would understand better today. Because were it not that he held the heavens and the earth together, they would have all just gotten lost in space. So he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is قَيُّمُ السَّمَوَاتِ والأرضين. Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, he said he gave praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Lord of the worlds. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Qayyum al-Samawat, is the one who created the heavens wal ardeen and the earth, and he sustains them and he takes care of them. He says Allah is Mudabbir al-Khalaik ajma'in. He sees to the affairs of all of creations. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani musarrifu umuril makhluqat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he takes care of those affairs. Those affairs don't occur except by his permission and as he wants them. So it is when he wants that there will be rain. It is when he wants that there will be sun. It is when he wants that there will be anything that is found in existence in the universe. They do not occur except with his knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, he says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mudabbirul khala'iq ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of the affairs of all the creation all together. Allah is, again he said alayhi rahmatullah, ba'isir rusul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the anbiya, the prophets, and he raised the rusul. He raised all the rusul who came. He told us there are so many of them, right from the time of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, and to the last of them, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised these rusul, those who came with books amongst them, and those who came to teach the books and the sharia of those who came before them. Allah raised all of them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he prayed for those rusul. The last of them is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the seal of them. The seal not talking about the sign, but the seal talking about the last of them, alayhimu salatu wa salam. And then he said, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim. May Allah's blessings be upon them and his peace. Salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim. May Allah's blessings wa salamuhu and his protection, his guidance, guiding them away from everything that is evil and bringing them towards everything that is good. So may Allah's blessings, his favors and tremendous mercy, wa salamuhu, and his peace and protection alayhim, be upon these rusul. These rusul, because he said ba'isir rusul, he had not ended it. He said ba'isir rusul ila al-mukallafin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised these anbiya that Allah, he prayed Allah's peace and blessings upon and protection for, that they are what? Ila al-mukallafin. He sent them to those upon whom Allah has given responsibility. He has legalized responsibility. He has legislated upon them responsibility. The mukallafin are those upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated responsibility for. They are responsible for what they do. They are responsible for what they do of goodness. And they are also responsible for what they do of good. They are responsible for every statement that they make, good or bad. They are responsible for every action that they bring about, good or bad. So these are those two things must be found in them. They must have aql, and that is, they must be, or such a person, mukallaf, the singular of it, must be an aqilun baligun. He must be an aqil, he must be someone who is sane. He must also be a baligh, he must be someone who has reached maturity. So two things make a mukallaf. Every human being that has reached the age of, that is sane and has reached the age of maturity, is a mukallaf. That is legally responsible at that point in time. That will mean that a child that has not reached the age of maturity, that is not a baligh, but can make tamyiz, that is, he is sensible, he can differentiate between good and bad, he can understand so many things, but still he has not reached the age of maturity. such persons are only partly responsible in the Sharia. We say every mukallaf, perfectly responsible, legally responsible Muslim, must be an akil, or human being, must be an akil balig. Okay, what about the akil ghayru balig? That is, a child is sensible, but is not matured. The ulama will say he is only partially responsible, meaning if he does anything that is good, reading the Quran, performing salah, and all these, he gets the reward from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he commits any sin that is from the sins, for those who are mukallafun, he is not punished for it, because he's not a baligh. So we say he's partly responsible. Is partially responsible, because his legal responsibility is not total. It's not in its entirety. He's enjoying the virtues from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he does good things, it is recorded for him. But if he does something negative, it is not recorded against him. So that is for an akil ghayru balig. What about a balig ghayru akil? That is the insane person. Someone who is matured, but it's not sane. It can occur in two instances. Someone whose insanity is mustamir, whose insanity is continuous, such a person is not legally responsible at all. He goes on. If he does anything good, he's not held for it. If he does anything bad, it's not held against him. He goes on like that. That is, the person who is baligh, ghayru akil, that is baligh, matured but insane, he goes on. But there are cases where people go on into insanity and then they come up into sanity. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah, in his book Al-Furqan Bayna Awliya'i Rahman wa Awliya'i Shaytan, was saying alayhi rahmatullah that for such persons, the times that they have legal responsibility is the time that they have their sanity. When they go into insanity again, the pain is lifted off them. When they come back into sanity, the pain begins to take its toll for or against them. When they go into insanity, just like that. So the pain is raised and dropped in their case. For those whose insanity is on and off. So, for a person who is baligh akil, who is baligh akil, is mentioned to be a mukallaf. There is also another situation of al-baligh ghayru akil. Al-baligh ghayru akil can be an aged person, somebody who is very aged. The person is matured, but ghayru akil, because senility of old age has come, at that point in time, they are not also held against what they do. Their case is going to be like the case of the child. The case of the child, al-akil ghayru baligh. So when they do something that is good, it is recorded positively for them. And when they do something that is negative, they are not held against it. That is, people who are old and senility has come in their case. They are actually baligh ghayru akil. But their ruling is like the ruling of ghayru baligh akil. Do we understand? So these anbiya were sent for all the situations that a human being will be, and he will be said to be responsible as a mukallaf. So he will be an akil baligh. He will be an akil baligh. So these are the people to whom the anbiya were sent. And he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that lihidayatihim, he said, ba'isir rusuli salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim ilal mukallafin lihidayatihim. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised these prophets alayhim salatu wa salam to these mukallafun lihidayatihim, so that they can guide them, they can guide these human beings, they can give them hidayatul irshad. So that's why he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa innaka latahdi ila siratul mustaqim. So you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are a person who guides, you are a guide to the straight path. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the anbiya, they are guides in such a case. So they guide in terms of, they teach and show the way. They say, this is the way. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, as Allah said to us, that kul, hadhihi sabili, ad'u ila Allahi, ala basiratin, ana wa mani taba'ani. So this da'wa ila Allah, ala basira, is their hidayatul irshad. Their hidayah, their guidance of showing the way to people. This is the right, this is the wrong. This is right, this is wrong. This is right, this is wrong. When Allah talked about, told Bani Israel, say, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا كُنْتُمْ تُخْفُونَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورٌ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ يَهَدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَعَ رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ. So this is hidayah that the Anbiya came with. We'll come back to this verse, inshallah. So this hidayah, showing the way, this is right, this is wrong, is what the Anbiya came. But the other form of hidayah that is known as hidayah to tawfiq, that someone is actually guided to attain success, is not granted by anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is one regarding which Allah rejected for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that innaka lan tahdi man ahbabta walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha. You do not guide whom you want, hidayah to tawfiq. Walakinna Allah yahdi man yasha. Allah guides whom he wants. That is, making somebody attain success actually is in the hands of Allah. But showing the one the road to success, being upon the road to success and telling him, follow me, this is the way of the Anbiya and the Rusul. So they are in front and then we follow them. We follow their way, like he told us in the verse from Surah Yusuf that we mentioned while we were discussing this hidayah, that قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي. And this is what is referred to as the sunnah of the Anbiya, this path. This is their hidayah. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that Allah raised these prophets to the mukallafun, lihidayatihim, to guide them, wabayani shara'i iddini, and then so that they can explain to the people, shara'i iddin, the rulings of this, of the religion. They would say, someone who does not pray, Allah will punish him. Someone who does not accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and only, Allah will do so. Someone who does so, someone who commits zina, he should be flogged. Someone, these rulings, this Anbiya will explain it. That's why in the verse we mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, that قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ كَثِيرًا مِمَّا كُنْتُمْ تُخْفُونَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. He will explain it to you. So explanation and making known the laws of Allah are from the duties of the Anbiya and the Rusul alayhim salatu wassalam. So these people, وَبَيَانِ شَرَاءِ الدِّينِ, they are going to explain the rulings of the religion, بِالدَّلَائِلِ الْقَطْعِيَّةِ. They are going to do that with clear-cut evidences. They are going to do that explaining the rulings of the deen with clear-cut evidences. So when they say, do this, say, Allah says this. When they say, do that, say, Allah says this. And the signs they have brought are undeniable signs that no one will deny. وَوَاضِحَاتِ الْبَرَاهِينَ, that is, الْبَرَاهِينَ الْوَاضِحَ. And evidences, proofs, that are very clear. The first one is a qat'iyya, clear cut, straightforward. And wadiha, barahin al wadiha, is that these laws, the evidences, the proofs these Anbiya bring, they are not confusing at all. They do not bring about any confusion. So he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, afala yatadabbarun al Quran, walau kana min indi ghayri Allah, lawajadu fihi ikhtilafan kathira. So there is no ikhtilaf. And there is no gumud, it's clear. So these are the kind of evidences these Rusul, they came with, alayhim salatu wassalam. So Al-Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah, he said, Ahmaduhu ala jami'i ni'amihi. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one was praise, but this one is shukr. The first one, he says, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. He's talking about praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including thanks and glorification and all that. But this is talking about giving thanks to Allah, bearing in mind that Allah says, In shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful to me, I will increase my favors upon you. So he's asking for more favors from Allah. So he thanked him for the favors he had enjoyed, alayhi rahmatullah. And he said, wa as'aluhu al-mazida min fadlihi wa karamihi. And then he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for more favors. Allah favored him, alayhi rahmatullah. He made him to memorize Quran at very early age. By age 32, he was already writing books that the Ummah now reads. We mentioned that Al-Imam al-Nawawi, he wrote Sharhu Sahih Muslim al-Minhaj. He wrote the book, all of it, 18 volumes within 2 years. Alayhi rahmatullah. And that he gave back to books and students. He gave back to students, people like Al-Imam al-Mizzi, Abu al-Hajjaj. They are from the students of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah. And one of his students, Al-Imam al-Ibn Attar, Alauddin. This Imam was called Mukhtasar al-Nawawi. Everything, he was with him, alayhi rahmatullah, for 6 years. For 6 years, Ibn Attar was nowhere but with Imam al-Nawawi. And he's the one who related most of these books from Imam al-Nawawi, like Ibn Qayyim related most of the books from Ibn Taymiyyah, alayhi rahmatullah. And Allah bless Imam Ibn Attar for the fact that he lived long and was able to also learn from people like Ibn Taymiyyah, alayhi rahmatullah, Ibn Attar. So some of the works like of Imam al-Nawawi that he did not complete, he went a little bit further with them. Like his sharh on Sunan Abi Dawud. Imam Ibn Attar did some more on them. So all these are favors from Allah. The fact that we are reading his book is a favor for him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah favored him with that. One of the scholars, Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi, in his Tahqiq Abu al-Harith, in his Tahqiq of Riyadh al-Salihin, he was talking about Riyadh al-Salihin, that he says he will not be talking too much. He will not be exceeding bounds if he said after the Book of Allah, the most popular book on earth is Riyadh al-Salihin. He said if he says that, it will not be too much. That after the Quran, the most popular book on earth amongst the Muslims is Riyadh al-Salihin. And if you look at it actually, you see there's about, it's difficult to find a mosque you go to and people are not reading Riyadh al-Salihin. If people are not reading, you see it in the mosque. As you see the Quran, you see Riyadh al-Salihin. So it's from Kabul. It's from Kabul. It's from acceptance of deeds. So all these things, they are favors from Allah. And he said, alayhi rahmatullah, وَأَسْأَلُهُ الْمَزِيدَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَكَرَمِهِ أَوْ وَكَرْمِهِ. He said, and I ask him for more, min fadlihi, out of his favors and bounties, wa karamihi, and his generosity. I ask him for more favors. So Allah grant him a lot of favors. Alayhi rahmatullah. After that, he said, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And I attest to the fact, testification, shahada, is that the tongue attests what the heart affirms. Shahada is that the tongue attests, says what the heart affirms. So what he is saying to us is what his heart affirms. He says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I affirm with my heart and I attest with my tongue that there is no one that is worthy. Not that there is no one people worship, but they are not worthy of being worshipped. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. So he said, wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And I testify that there is no one that is worthy of being worshipped but Allah alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-wahidu, the one that is one. Allah is one. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is one in his rububiyyah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's been the Lord. He is one in the fact that he alone creates. He alone created. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He alone sustains the universe. When he was asking us in Fatir, Surah Al-Fatir, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَنْ تَزُولَ وَلَئِنْ زَالَتَا إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. If he left the universe uncontrolled, if he left it, who is it who will control, who will hold on the universe? Is there anyone who can set up force of gravity? So Allah holds it out of his power. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, that Allah is one. So he's one in his rububiyyah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's also one in his uluhiyyah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. is one in his uluhiya, in the sense that he is the only one that should be worshipped. This is his oneness regarding his uluhiya. No one should be worshipped except him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in his asma wa sifat, in his names and his attributes. In his attributes, in his names, Allah is one. He has no equal. So he says himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There is none like unto Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is al-wahidu. Allah, again, he said, al-qahhar. He said, Allah is al-wahidu al-qahhar. Yani al-ghalibu الَّذِي لَا يُغْلَبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who overcomes and is never overcome. Allah overcomes the ever overcoming who is not overcome. No one overcomes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah overcomes everything. And from his overcoming everything is that he's above everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is ulu. From his overcoming everything is that subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everything. Allah is above everything. So everything is under him. He overcomes everything. And nothing overcomes him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says this, Al-Karimul Ghaffar. Allah is generous, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one is as generous. He continuously blesses people. People enjoy his generosity. As we are seated here, we are feeling the air. Fresh air, we call it. We are enjoying it. It's benefit from Allah. It's favor from Allah. So when the wind is still and there is heat, everybody starts complaining. People start converting their hands to hand fans. Start complaining, there's heat. That does not suffice. They start blowing upon themselves. So Allah is Al-Kareem, the bounteous giver, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, Al-Ghaffar, the one who regularly forgives, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the servant sins, he forgives him. When the servant sins, he forgives him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, Nabbi ibadi anni ana al-ghafoor al-rahim. Inform my slaves that surely I am the one who forgives and blesses. Tell them that. Allah forgives, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except when two things happen, then he stops forgiving. When gargara happens, he says, Qabla an yuzargira. Before he starts gurgling his life from his throat, like Fir'aun did, la'anatullah alayhi. At the time he was struggling, he now wanted to believe in Allah. Amantu bi Rabbi Musa wa Hafsila al-al. So qabla an yuzargira, before the time comes upon each and every one of us, we must make sure we have turned in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second one is, before the sun comes up, qabla tulu'i shamsi min maghribiha, before the sun rises from its place of set, each of us must have sought forgiveness, because at the time no forgiveness will be accepted. So the forgiveness is not accepted at the time of Al-Qiyamatul Kubra and at the time of Al-Qiyamatul Sugra. Do we understand? As-Sa'a or Al-Qiyamatul Kubra is the time when all of the world is finished, going to end. And the Sugra is the time that each of us dies. So these two periods, Tawbah is not accepted. But before these two times, these two periods, Allah forgives, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter the sin, even if it is shirk, Allah forgives. Allah forgives shirk. Allah forgives shirk. When he said, وَيَكْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَىٰ, he's talking about every sin. It doesn't mean that it has left shirk out of being forgiven. It's talking about in the hereafter. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ لَا يَغْفِرُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. But in this dunya, if someone makes repentance from shirk, Allah will forgive him, as he had forgiven those who came before. Not only that, سَيُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Two explanations. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ سَيُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. So these people, when they seek forgiveness, he was talking about Ibad al-Rahman, Surah al-Furqan. Al-Imam Ibn Kathir alayhi rahmatullah, he says this verse means two things. يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Because they have sought for forgiveness, their actions will change. So those who make zina become people who make tahajjud in the night at the time they used to make zina. So يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. Because they have made tawbah and they have changed their actions, Allah converts their actions. That is, the time, the actions they perform that were bad, they now begin to perform good actions. One interpretation, yubadilullahu sayyiatihim hasanat. Another interpretation is that those sins they had committed before, Allah will convert it to good. He will convert it to virtue for them. And the Imam said, alayhi rahmatullah, that the two interpretations are right. So look at how favorable Allah is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is al-ghaffar, the one who regularly forgives, subhanahu wa ta'ala. After praising Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan, and I testify, like we said regarding shahada the first time, that shahada is affirming with the heart and attesting with the tongue. We affirm with the heart, leaving no stone unturned. All of our minds must attest, must affirm that truth. And then we attest to it with our tongue. This is shahada. Anna Muhammadan abduhu. That surely the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave. Why did he start saying slave? Of all attributes of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama says because to be the slave of Allah is from the best of the attributes of a servant of Allah. And that is why Allah himself, when he did to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he did not do to any servant, to any creature, not even the angels, he called him slave. When he took him on Mi'raj, subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhi salatu wa sallam, when Allah took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Mi'raj, and he was telling us about it, what did he say? Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi layla min al-masjid al-haram. His slave. What did he say? When he's talking about the revelation that came to him, wa awha ila abdihi ma awha. What did he say at the beginning of Kahf? Alhamdulillah alladhi anzala ala abdihi. What did he say in Furqan? He's telling him that I've given you a Furqan, something that makes you determine between good and evil. He says, Alhamdulillah alladhi nazzala ala abdihi al-kitab. Alhamdulillah alladhi nazzala ala abdihi al-kitab. Alhamdulillah alladhi nazzala ala abdihi al-furqan. La. Alhamdulillah alladhi tabaraka alladhi nazzala ala abdihi al-furqan. Tabaraka alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-furqan. نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. So what did he say about that also, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Abdihi, his slave. So every time Allah talks about the best things, the best attributes of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he calls him my slave. Because he created him for his service. He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And this one has reached the epitome of that reason for creation. So it means the one who has achieved the epitome for the reason why he was created has to be praised for it at the best of periods. So when he took him to the heaven, he said, Abdihi. When he's telling you about why you say Abdihi. So that's why he himself, he says, when he was saying, don't praise me, he said, Fakulu Abdullahi wa Rasul. Say Abdullah Rasul. When you could say, I'm his slave. Because that is from the greatest of attributes of any slave created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of every person Allah creates, the best status is the status of ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that is the essence of creation. And he has reached the epitome regarding it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he says, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu. So I testify that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abduhu is his slave, wa rasuluhu, and his messenger, but the best of them, the best of them, the best of the prophets and anbiya was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the best of all human beings is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Ana sayyidu waladi Adam wala faqar." I'm the leader of all the children of Adam. And it's not pride. I'm just telling you the facts. Alayhi salatu wasallam. Ulama say, alayhim rahmatullah. Why did the Prophet tell us that? And he's saying wala faqar. I'm not being proud. It's not arrogance. I'm just telling you the fact. Why? They say because the best of human beings, the best of creatures cannot be known except by revelation. Do we understand? It is revelation from Allah that will tell us who amongst the creatures of Allah is the best. So if the Prophet went and revelation stopped, who will tell us who the best was? So he has to tell us. So he says, Ana Sayyidu Waladi Adam Wala Fakhar. It is not pride. I'm the best of all the creatures, the children of Adam, including Adam himself. So the Prophet is the best of Rusul, the best of Anbiya, the best of people. Of course, when the Rusul and the Anbiya are the best of human beings, then the best of the Rusul is the best of all the creation, of all human beings. There are a lot of discussions. The Rusul and the Malaika, who are best? Ulama say the Anbiya are better than the Rusul, are better than the Malaika. And that's why the Malaika are messengers to them. Then how can the messenger be better than the person to whom he is sent? They say so many things regarding that. In any case, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of Anbiya and the best of Rusul alayhi salatu wasalam. Not only that, wa habibuhu, is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the beloved of Allah. Allah loves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this makes us understand that Allah loves. Allah has an attribute of loving. Allah loves something. It's from the attributes of Allah. And there are so many places in the Quran Allah told us about that. It says, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin. Allah likes those who are regularly repenting, and He likes those who are regularly cleaning, purifying themselves. It says, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Inna Allah yuhibbu al-muqsitin. Allah likes those who are fair, just people. Inna Allah yuhibbu al-muttaqin. Allah likes those who are pious, righteous people. They fear Him. When He commands them, they leave. When they abstain. And when he prohibits them, they abstain. When He commands them, they obey. Allah likes them. So it means Allah likes something. And from those He likes is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, can somebody name himself Habibullah, the one loved by Allah? Ulama say the best is that we should not name ourselves by names like that. Because when he says, Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin, Inna Allah yuhibbu al-muttaqin, he was not specifying. He is describing an attribute of a people. He is not specifying persons. It's like, just like the ahadith regarding shuhada, that is, the martyrs. Yes, they are shuhada, and we say people who die on the field, on the battlefield, are shuhada. Well, we are not going to make ta'i and say so and so is shaheed. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allahu a'lamu biman yuqlamu fi sabilihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala best knows who is actually injured for His sake. So the same thing, these attributes are known best to Allah. So if someone insists and says, no, me I'm Habibullah, and insists and says is Habibullah, the first is that you would hardly find any of the past predecessors whose name is Habib, Habibullah. You can say Habib, beloved. But specifically mentioning Habibullah, it is strange. The second thing is that attribute will be getting some close to what the Jews and the Christians claim for themselves regarding Allah. Allah says, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبِنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. The Jews and the Christians say we are the children of Allah and His beloved ones. The kul falima yu'azibukum bizunubikum. Say to them, why are you punished for your sins? You are beloved of Allah. Why are you punished? Because you commit sins. And they were really, really punished many times. They were cursed people. May Allah save us from His curse. So it's not from the best thing a Muslim should do. It's better that a Muslim does not take a name in things like Habibullah. Then it carries some self-praise for oneself in Habibullah. So after Habibullah, he said, wa khaliluhu, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also Khalil of Allah. Khulla is the highest level of hub. The epitome of love is khulla. The epitome, the highest level love can go to is khulla, being a khalil. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that is khalil of Allah. So if you say you are a khalil of Allah, how do you know? How do you know that you are a khalil? But he told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, Inna Allah ittakhazani khalilan kama ittakhaza Ibrahim khalila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me His khalil as He made Ibrahim is Khalil. So the same way we should not say Habibullah, we should not say we are Khalilullah. Because you don't know whether Allah loves you like Khalil, to the best of levels of love. So if you call yourself Khalilullah, except if you are saying Khalilullah, taking after Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Do we understand? So a Khalilullah taking after Ibrahim alayhi salam. So such persons from their names will be Ibrahim. So they can be Ibrahim Khalilullah. So the Khalilullah goes back to describe Ibrahim, not the person who is bearing the name actually. But for someone to bear Khalilullah or bears any other name but refers to himself as Khalilullah is being excessive. There is no point in that. There is no evidence for things like that. Because you would not know whether you are from those Allah loves to the highest, except Allah tells you. The other thing about you is saying about Allah what you do not know. Because what Allah loves is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if Allah made us to understand from the Quran that وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, and the Prophet made us to know from Revelation also that Allah also made him a Khalil. So who about you? Who will tell us whether you are Khalil of Allah? But Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody should even say Khalil Muhammad, Khalil Rasul. Because he said he does not have a Khalil. He said, لَوْ اتَّخَذْتُ خَلِيلًا لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. If I were to take a Khalil, I would take Abu Bakr. وَلَكِنْ أُخُوَّةُ الدِّينِيَةِ. But what is there is brotherhood of Islam. So if somebody calls himself Khalil Rasul, he's just deceiving himself. The Prophet said, you are not his Khalil. When he said, even Abu Bakr in the Siddiq is not Khalil, can you come out and say you are Khalil? So these kind of names are names people should go away from. But the Prophet has a Habib. Let's talk about that. The Prophet has Habibur Rasul. And that was in Usama ibn Zayd ibn al-Harith radiallahu anhumah. He was beloved by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was called Habibur Rasul, himself and his father. So they are both Habibar Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved ones of the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we can say that regarding them, but others, no, because we would not have a proof for that. But Allah loves those who are pious, yes. Allah loves those who are truthful, yes. Allah loves those attributes, not actually persons, specifically. I think we should take note of these. Things like these are common in our communities. So Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, he says, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. I attest to the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, وَحَبِيبُهُ, and his beloved, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَخَلِيلُهُ, and the very, very, very beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفْضَلُ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ, the best of all the creatures. We have tried to explain that. الْمُكَرَّمُ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْعَزِيزِ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-mukarramu bil-Qur'an al-Aziz. The one who is honored with the noble Qur'an. Allah honored the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Qur'an. Because the Qur'an is not like all the books before him or before it. The Qur'an is not like all the books before it. And one of the greatest things with which the Qur'an differs is that لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. No form of abatil, no form of interpolations. Every interpolation to all the books of Allah are batil. لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه ولا من خلفه. From any of the sides, from before and behind it. It's تنزيل من حكيم حميد. It's a revelation from Hakim, the all-wise subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hamid, the one who deserves praise subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves the Quran. He will preserve it until the day of Qiyamah. So this makes us understand the stupidity in the statement of the Shia that the Quran is, as we have it today, is about only a third of the actual Quran. So they believe that there is a Quran that is larger, far larger than what we have with us. Na'udhu billah. It means even disbelieving in this one that you have. Do we understand? If you say, because the Quran has says, لا يأتيه الباطل من بين يديه. Nothing will be added, nothing will be removed. You are now saying some has been removed. So who is lying? It is sure that you can lie, and we are also sure that Allah cannot lie, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are the liars. So the Quran is from what Allah has used to honor the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all his beautiful attributes that it has. The Quran has attributes that other books do not have. The Quran has attributes that other books do not have. And from that is that it will remain until the day of Qiyamah, until the last time. No evil shall touch it. And Allah told us about the books before, when He was describing the Jews. So you harifuna li kalima amma wadihi wa nasu hawa mimma zukiru bih. The people, the Jews and the Christians, you harifuna li kalima, they change Allah's words as they will. For some of us, nasuha, they forgot them. In fact, he said, Nasu Hazwan, they forgot a large part of it, Mimazu Kirubi, from what they were reminded about. Allah says, Fa'agwaida bainahumul adawat wal bagda. So we made them to hate themselves, and we sowed enmity amongst them, as a punishment for what they did regarding the Book of Allah. And that is why the Muslims must not stop learning the Quran. Hifzan, watadaburan, watafsiran. We must not stop learning the Quran, memorizing it, thinking about it, and learning its meanings. Watajweedan, and reading it properly as it should be read. So that we'll not be like these people who abandoned their books, and they were accursed for that. Because from what the Prophet will say on the day of Qiyamah is that the people took the Quran. He says, Ya Rabbi, inna qawmi takhazu hadha al-Quran mahjura. May Allah save us from that evil. So this Quran, Allah honored the Prophet Muhammad with it, alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-mu'jizati al-mustamirati ala ta'aqub al-sinin. He mentioned it. He said, the mu'jiza, the Quran, which is a mu'jiza, a miracle, something that its kind is not ordinarily found, something extraordinary. The Quran is extraordinary, and it is al-mustamirati, it is continuous. The miracles of the Anbiya before him, they came at their time and they ended there. They said to Nabi Isa alayhi salam, هَلْ يَسْتَطِعَ رَبُّكَ أَنْ يُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. He told them, قَالَ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Fear Allah if you are true believers. They قَالُوا نُرِيدُ أَنْ نَأْكُلَ مِنْهَا وَتَطْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبُنَا وَنَحْنُ عَنْ قَدْ صَدَقْتَنَا وَنَكُونَ عَلَيْهَا مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. We want to see it. We want to be sure that, yes, you are a Nabi. We want to be sure, we want to increase our faith. I want to be from those who witness it. Nabi Isa alayhi salam called unto Allah, Allahumma Rabbana anzil alayna ma'idatan minas sama takunu lana eidan li awwalina wa akhirina wa ayatan mink. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ma'ida. It ended there. They ate, the food came, it ended there. That miracle ended there. وَتُبْرِ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَسَ بِإِذْنِي وَيَسْتُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِي. All this, Nabi Isa alayhi salam raised the dead and he healed the leper and all. It ended there. But the Quran, yastamir. So that's why he said, al-mu'jizati, al-mustamirati, ala ta'aqub al-sinin. So as these years come and follow one another, the Quran still remains as a miracle. Let's just mention one thing and proceed. Al-Imam al-Shinkiti alayhi rahmatullah, when he was explaining a verse in Surah Al-Fatir about pearls, that is gemstones. You know, gemstones are actually found in Bukhur, in saline water regions. But he said, alayhi rahmatullah, from that verse in Surah Al-Fatir, even when at the time it was not discovered that gemstones and pearls could be found in non-saline water regions, that Allah mentioned something in Surah Al-Fatir that will make us understand that it can be found in both. He says, وَمِن كُلِّن تَأْكُلُونَ لَحْمًا فَرِيًّا وَتَسْتَخْرِجُونَ حِلْيَةً تَلْبَسُونَهَا. He said, and from each of them, he started the verse. How did the verse start? وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْبَحْرَانِ هَذَا عَذْبٌ فُرَاتٌ سَائِغٌ شَرَابُهُ وَهَذَا مِلْحٌ أُجَاجٌ. He says, وَمِن كُلِّن تَعْكُلُونَ لَحْمًا طَرِيًّا وَتَسْتَخْرِجُونَ حِلْيَةً تَلْبَسُونَ. He says, from each of them, you find تَسْتَخْرِجُونَ حِلْيَةً, you can get from them things which we ornament. تَلْبَسُونَهَا, that you wear. He said, Ali Rahmatullah, this is proof that pearls could be found in non-saline water regions too. Even when the science had not discovered it, now they have discovered it. So this kind of mu'jiza, yastamir, حتى يوم القيامة. But the point of benefit for us, إخوان, here is because it was not found at the time, did not make them to disbelieve in the fact that it is available there. This is from where we must take as Muslims. We must not say science has not proved that you can have it. But Allah says it's there. The Prophet says it's there. And they believed in it. The companions believed in it. That وَمِنْ كُلِّنْ تَأْكُلُونَ لَحْمًا طَرِيًّا وَتَسْتَخْرِجُونَ حِلْيَةً تَلْبَسُونَهَا. They are there. So, this is the way the Quran is. It is al-mu'jizati, like he said, alayhi rahmatullah, al-mustamirati ala ta'aqud al-sinin. It's a miracle that's continuous as time and years go by. He said, وَبِالسُنَنِ. Also, Allah honored the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the revelation from Sunnah. You know, the Sunnah also is revelation. We know that al-wahyu wahyan, revelation is two forms. That al-wahyu al-matlu, al-wahyu ghayru matlu. The revelation that is recited, Quran, and the revelation that is not recited, the hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, that are authentically narrated from him. So Allah honored the Prophet with it, alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-mustanirati lil-mustarshidin. These sunan, these ways of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they provide light for guidance for those who wish to be guided. So he said, إِنِّي تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى مَحَجَّةٍ بَيْضَاءٍ مُسْتَنِيرَةٌ لِلْمُسْتَرْشِدِينَ زَلَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيبُ عَنْهَا. مُسْتَرْشِد will not leave it. The one who will leave it is what? هَالِك. لَا يَزِيبُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكُمْ. The one who will leave this littered part, bright part, there's not darkness in it, is the one who will leave it and it goes astray. He leaves it. And this is what Allah says. Says يَهَدِي بِهِ اللَّهُ مَنِ اتَّبَى رِضْوَانَهُ سُبُلَ السَّلَامِ وَيُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. So this is what the Quran does. This is what the Sunnah does. It brings the people out of the darknesses of ignorance, darknesses of shirk and sin and all this, into the light of Islam that leads them to Jannah, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So these two things the Prophet was honored with, them both, alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is al-makhsus bi jawami' al-kalim. The Prophet is singled out, is exclusively given the virtue of jawami' al-kalim. Jawami' al-kalim is few words but with great meanings. It says something small but a lot of meanings and a lot of application. So he says alayhi salatu wasalam, man ahdasa fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu فَهُوَ رَدْ. Anyone who brings to this our affair, this our deen, what is not part of it, what we have not legislated, it will be rejected. So if you ask, can someone make tawaf clockwisely instead of going from the Hajar al-Aswad, Rukn al-Hajj, Hajar al-Aswad, going through the Maqam Ibrahim, and then through what is called, even wrongly, Hijr al-Ismail, and then through Rukn al-Yamani, and then coming back to the Hajar al-Aswad. Instead of being that, running now from Rukn al-Yamani, and then going through Hijr al-Ismail and going there, we say, no, don't do that. If you ask why, is there any hadith that say I should not do so, we say, man ahadasa fi amrina hadha, ma laysa minhu, fahuwa radd. Anyone who brings to this our affair that which is not part of it, it will be rejected. The question is, what you are doing now, is it part of it? It's not part of it. Reject it. So despite the fact that the hadith is not talking about tawaf, if you say, can somebody run 100 meters from Safa to Marwa? We say, oh, man ahadasa fi amrina hadha, ma laysa minhu, fahuwa radd. During wudu, can somebody wash his neck? Be washing the neck. غسل العنق من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه. And that was why عليه الصلاة والسلام, this hadith was reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawud. Someone was performing salah in front, wudu, in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He washed the first time, one. He washed the second time, two. He washed the third time, three. He asked the Prophet salah, should I wash more? What did he say عليه الصلاة والسلام? من زاد على هذا فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ وَظَلَمَ. anyone who adds unto this, look at wudu. He said, faqad asa'a, he has done something wrong. Wa zalama, he has wronged himself. Zulm, injustice is what he's doing. So if we don't have this hadith, what will we say? Man ahdasa fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fa huwa radd. So this man ahdasa fi amrina hadha will have a lot of applications and interpretations, even when it is one single statement. So we say these kind of the things, the ulama refer to them as what? Jawami'ul kalim. And this is from the gift of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he said alayhi salatu wa salam, he says, bu'istu bi jawami'ul kalim. Have been raised and given jawami'ul kalim. Simple words, uncountable meanings. And man adasa fi amrina hadha, he has a billion applications. Those who go to worship people in the grave, man ahadasa fi amrina hadha. So many things, man ahadasa fi amrina hadha. There was a little bit ignorance from a young person once who was reading Fatawa Lajna Da'ima. And they were asking about things and they would say, the thing is innovation, that they will now say man ahadasa fi. He said they don't know any other thing than man ahadasa fi amrina hadha because of his jahal. He does not know that man ahdatha fi amrina hadha is applicable in every situation that concerns it. Ma laysa minhu fa huwa radd. He said, all their own is, everything is, the evidence is man ahdatha fi amrina hadha. So Allah has blessed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with jawami'u al-kalimi wa samahati al-deen and the easiness of deen. Wa ma ja'ala alaykum fi deeni min haraj. No difficulty in this deen. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, yassiru wa la tu'assiru wa bashiru wa la tunassiru. So bashiru, give them glad tidings, announce well good things to the people. Wa la tunassiru, don't send them away. Wa bashiru wa yassiru, he said yassiru, make things easy for them. Wa la tu'assiru, don't make it difficult. Also alayhi salatu wasalam, he says ad-deenu yusr, this deen, the deen is easy. He says, وَلَا يُشَادُ أَحَدُنُ الدِّينَ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Imam Bukhari reported it. No one makes this deen difficult, takes the deen with difficulty, إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Except that the deen overruns him. He will not be able to do it. He will not be able to continue. This deen, is easy. But if you take it difficult, taking deen difficult does not mean that do what you like. In fact, gulu in deen is not part of deen. Gulu in the deen is not part of the deen. Let's mention this. Because it is from the things someone may consider, that one is excessive, if it were to happen in our time. Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Fath al-Bari, when he was discussing in Kitab al-Libas, he was discussing Isbal. He said, at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, a man trailed his garments below his ankles. Umar radiallahu anhu saw the person. He said he called him, come. He grabbed him. He said they should look for a blade. And he cut the clothes right there in front of him. This is in the case of someone who is a ruler, who has a power over the ruled to make implementation. As is in the hadith of that, Man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadihi. So if someone is a ruler and he sees somebody making his bar, he calls him, come. He carries a razor blade and cuts him. Don't say it's excessiveness. Do we understand? If you say it's excessiveness, you'll be claiming that Umar was also excessive, na'udhu billah. And he had told us, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّشِدِ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِ. Do we understand? So that's not excessiveness. And things like that. So excessive things are things that are not from Islam. Like someone says, a woman can never go out of the house. It's excessiveness, never go out of the house. It's excessiveness. If she says, I want to perform salah in the masjid, you are not to say no. If you say no, it's excessiveness, it's gloom. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tamna'u ima'allahi masajid allahi. Do not prevent the female servants of Allah from the house of Allah. And this was a source of an enmity that lasted forever between Abdullah ibn Umar and his son Bilal. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith. This hadith is the hadith of Ibn Umar in Bukhari Muslim and other books. that he was saying, because some women after the Prophet died alayhi salatu wasalam started taking some things with luxury, to the extent that Aisha radiallahu anha, we knew her popular statement that if the Prophet were to be alive, he would have prevented the women. But that is not preventing them. That statement of Aisha radiallahu anha does not prevent them. Because if it prevented them, she would have prevented them. She is even saying that it does not prevent them. Ah, sorry that I can't prevent it. That's what she was saying, radiallahu anha. So when Ibn Umar was telling the people, don't prevent your women from coming, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tamna'u ima Allahi masajid Allah. Do not prevent the female servants of Allah from the house of Allah. His son Bilal said, ana la amna'uhunna. I'm going to prevent them. He says, ana akulu qala rasul wa takulu hadha, ana la ukallimuka abadan. I'm saying, Prophet says something, you are saying this thing, you are saying, I will never talk to you again. It continued like that. Ibn Umar and his son Bilal. Because Ibn Umar said, Prophet said, don't prevent them. His son said, I will prevent them. I will never talk to you. When Ibn Umar was on the dying bed, sick bed, while he was to die, they brought Bilal to him. Sallim ala abika. Make taslim to your father. He did. Ibn Umar looked at him like this and turned his face the opposite way. He died. You, I say, Prophet says something. You say you will do it. I will not talk to you. He turned his face and died. So, to say that the woman should never ever go is excessiveness. If she says she wants to go, not to allow her is excessiveness. Do we understand? So excessiveness in the deen comes in many ways. A man can say, I will never sleep every night to tahajjud. From after Isha to Salatu Suwi is excessiveness. The Prophet said, I sleep and I pray. He sleeps, he prays. Someone said, I will never eat. I will be fasting every day throughout my life. It's gulu. Nobody sent you that one. It's not from the deen. There are so many ways people go to excesses. Unfortunately, sometimes people accuse people of excess when it is not actually excessiveness. So it's nice to understand what excessiveness is before we begin to say people went to excess when they say things regarding issues. So this deen is something that is easy. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَلَا يَشَادُّ أَحَدُنُ الدِّينَ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. No one takes this deen with difficulty except that he is overrun by the deen. صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ. The peace and the blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلَى سَائِرِ النَّبِّيِّينَ. And upon all the rest of the anbiya, aside the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلِ كُلِّنْ. And to the household of each of them, of course those who are believers, not like the household of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Amongst his wife, because his wife disbelieved. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مْرَأَةَ لُوتٍ إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ إِذْ وَإِمْرَأَةَ لُوتٍ كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبِدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحِينَ. And there are so many others, even the wife of Nabi Lut alayhi salam. She was amongst them, like Allah said in that verse. So not those people, because the ahal of the people, the ahal of a man includes his wife or wives. The ahal of a man includes his wives. So the ahal of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam includes his wife. Away from the faulty understanding of the Shia who believe that the ahal of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not include the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's very wrong disposition. It's wrong in Arabic grammar. It's wrong by the text of the Quran and Hadith. Wallahu al-musta'an. So may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon those who are believers from the people, from the families of these anbiya and their followers, their family who followed them, and those the rest of the followers. The followers of a Nabi, of a Rasul, or of a leader are also from his al. Allah told us that in Surah Al-Ghafir when he was talking about Fir'aun. It says, "النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيًّا وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا عَلَى فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ." That is the followers of Fir'aun. Sheikh Uthaymeen alayhi rahmatullah, in this first volume of the Sharh of Aqidat al-Wasitiyah, he made evidence with this verse. Alayhi rahmatullah. وَسَائِرِ الصَّالِحِينَ. And the rest of the pious people. أَمَّا بَعْدِ. Thereafter, after saying all these, praising Allah and praying the blessings of Allah upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Imam Nawawi said will be some faster now, inshallah. He said, فَقَدْ رُوِيْنَا عَنْ عَلِيٍّ ابْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. It's been reported to us from Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه. We know him, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the first Khalifa after the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, Abu al-Hasan, the beloved from Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَعَبْدِ ibn Masud, Abu Abdi Rahman, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the most learned companion in the matters of the Quran. Abdullah ibn Masud is the most learned companion in the matters of the Quran. There are narrations in Sahih Muslim in his Manaqib that he was saying that he learned over 70 chapters from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was asking him the meaning of them. He said, so if I knew anyone who knows the Quran more than me, I would have gone to meet him. He was saying that when the companions were many. In the Tabi'i who reported the hadith was saying that we were looking at the mouth of the rest of the companions, that will anybody argue with him? So nobody argue. Everybody catch quiet. What about the dua for Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma? That is dua that he should know it. The dua does not indicate tafdeel, radiallahu anhum. Wa Mu'adh ibn Jabal, wa Abi Darda, wa Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhuma, wa Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas, al-Hashmi, radiallahu anhum. Wa Anas ibn Malik, khadim al-Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa Abi Huraira, radiallahu anhu, hafiz al-Ummah. عبد الرحمن بن فخر رضي الله عنه وابي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنهم من طرق كثيرة. It's been reported from all these companions from very many chains of transmission. بروايات متنوعات, with different chains of transmissions. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال, that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, من حفظ على أمتي 40 حديثا من أمر دينها بعثه الله تعالى يوم القيامة في زمرة الفقهاء والعلماء. من حفظ على أمتي 40 حديثا من أمر دينها بعثه الله تعالى يوم القيامة في زمرة الفقهاء والعلماء. The narration said that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that man hafiza ala ummati arba'in. Anyone who narrates, who reports 40 narrations to my ummah, min amri diniha, from the matters of their deen, ba'athahullahu ta'ala, Allah the Most High will raise this person on the day of Qiyamah, fi zumratil fuqaha'i wal ulama. In the ranks, in the categories, in the lines and rows of the scholars and the scholars of fiqh, Allah will raise him amongst them. Wa fi riwayatin, in another narration, ba'athahu Allahu faqihan aliman, Allah will raise him on the day of Qiyamah as a faqih, as a scholar of fiqh, aliman, a great scholar. This hadith is weak, we'll come back to it. The reason why I quickly said it, we are just reading through so that we'll be some faster. We'll not be explaining twice, inshallah. Regarding the weakness of the hadith. Wa fi riwayati Abi Darda, and in the report, the narration of Abu Darda, he said, wa kuntu lahu yawm al-qiyamati shafi'an wa shahidan. That the Prophet said, anybody who did that, reported 40 narrations to the Ummah, from what benefits it, that he will be raised. On the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet will be a shafi' for him, one who intercedes. The Prophet will intercede for him and will attest to his iman, his belief on the day of Qiyamah. Wa fi riwayat ibn Mas'ud, in the report of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Abdurrahman, qila lahu, it will be said to that kind of a person, udkhul min ayyi abwab al-jannati shi'ta, enter al-jannah from any of its doors that you like. Wa fi riwayat ibn Umar, and in the report of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, kutiba fi zumrati al-ulama wa hushira fi zumrati shuhada. He will be written from the company, to be from the company of the scholars, and he will be raised on the day of Qiyamah in the company of the matayat. Imam al-Nawawi continued alayhi rahmatullah. He says, wa attafaqa al-huffazu ala annahu hadithun da'if. Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah, he said, this hadith, ittafaqa al-huffaz, the scholars of hadith are agreed annahu, that this hadith is hadithun da'if, is a hadith that is weak, that is an unreliable hadith, a hadith that we cannot say Prophet said. That was why I was saying that it was said in this report, it said that we are saying. Because when you report something from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is known not to be authentic, you don't say Prophet say, because he didn't say it. Or you can't be sure that he said it. Because you are not sure that he said it, so you keep quiet. Say, they say that he said. So that's why the say is too much there when we are talking about the hadith. So Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah said, وَاتَّفَقَ الْهُفَّاظُ وَلَا أَنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ ضَعِيفٌ. That scholars of hadith like Al-Imam ibn Jawzi, Al-Hafiz al-Munziri, Ibn Abd al-Barri, Al-Maliki, Imam al-Dar al-Qutni, and recently Sheikh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, including Imam al-Nawawi, because this statement itself is making us understand that he is also saying that the hadith is weak. He said it, وَاتَّفَقَ الْأُلَمَاءُ لِحُفَّاظُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ ضَعِيفٌ وَإِنْ كَثُرَتْ طُرُقُهُ. Even if his chain of narrations are many, and they are actually many, look at how many companions they are quoting. Almost 6 or 7 companions. So even when the chains of narrations are many, they are weak. They are all weak narrations. So the narration is weak. وَقَدْ صَنَّفَ الْأُلَمَاءُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. The scholars, may Allah shower His blessings upon them, they have compiled في هذا الباب, regarding the issues of أربعون, they have compiled مَا لَا يُحْصَى مِنَ الْمُصَنَّفَاتِ, a lot of narrations that cannot be counted, uncountable. So many narrations, أربعين, so and so, أربعين. We mentioned a few of that last week. He said, فَأَوَّلُ مَنْ عَلِمْتُهُ صَنَّفَهُ, the first of those I know who compiled أربعين was Abdullah ibn Mubarak, ثُمَّ مُحَمَّدِ ibn أَسْلَمَ أَتْتُوْسِ. Then we spoke a little bit about Imam ibn Mubarak last week. He said, after him, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Aslam al-Tusi, Al-Alim al-Rabbani. Thereafter, we had Imam Muhammad ibn Aslam al-Tusi, Al-Alim, the great scholar, al-Rabbani, devote, someone who is given to worship, a lot of ibadah, was him. So was he, alayhi rahmatullah. Al-Imam al-Tusi, alayhi rahmatullah, was a very learned person from the scholars of Islam. He is known to be from the teachers of Al-Imam ibn Khuzaymah, Muhammad ibn Ishaq, alayhi rahmatullah, Imam al-A'imma. So he's from the teachers of Imam ibn Khuzaymah, alayhi rahmatullah. He said, ثُمَّ الْحَسَنُ ibn Sufyan al-Nasawi. Then thereafter, after Muhammad ibn Aslam, we had Al-Hasan ibn Sufyan al-Nasawi, Al-Imam Abu al-Abbas al-Shaybani, alayhi rahmatullah. He is also from the teachers of Ibn Khuzaymah, alayhi rahmatullah. He learned from the people of like Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Yahya ibn Ma'in, Qutayba ibn Sa'id, and all these. They are great scholars at the time of Imam Ahmad, and some of them are from the teachers of Imam Bukhari. So he's from amongst those who learned with them. He lived in the same city with Al-Imam al-Nasai at the same time, and they died the same year. Imam al-Nasai, Abu Abdurrahman, alayhi rahmatullah, himself and Al-Hasan ibn Sufyan al-Nasawi, wa Abu Bakr al-Ajuri, thereafter Al-Imam al-Ajuri also wrote about Arbaun, wa Abu Bakr Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Azbahani, and Imam Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Azbahani, wa Daru Qutni, Imam Daru Qutni, alayhi rahmatullah. Ulama will say regarding Daru Qutni, that Maja Abadahu Misluhu, after him, the kind of him has not come again. Imam Daru Qutni. Wal Hakim al Nisaburi, Abu Abdullah, after Daru Qutni, wa Abu Nu'aym al Azwahani, he also wrote Arbaun. Wa Abu Abdurrahman al Sulami, wa Abu Sa'id al Malini, wa Abu Uthman al Sabuni, and the rest of them. Wa Abdullah ibn Muhammad al Ansari, وأبو بكر البيهكي إمام بيهكي عليه رحمة الله وخلائق يحصون من المتقدمين لا يحصون وخلائق لا يحصون من المتقدمين والمتأخرين. And many that cannot be counted from those who came early long ago and those who came later عليهم رحمة الله. وقد استخرت الله الإمام النووي عليه رحمة الله. Having seen the good thing in compiling أربعون, he didn't just go ahead. And this is common in the Ummah now. We want to do something, we just see that this thing is nice, we go ahead like that. No. So after seeing that, yes, these people have done it, I want to do it too. He said, Istakhartu Allah. I went to make istikhara. Because the fact that I can see now physically that there is benefit in it, it doesn't mean that it's actually benefiting it. It may be that behind that initial benefit that I'm seeing, there are a lot of evil in it. That only Allah knows it. So we make istikhara. If you want to do anything, you can see the good. This thing appears good. Or you are scared. Is it good or bad? Make istikhara. No matter how convinced you are about the benefits the activity will bring about. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, وَقَدْ إِسْتَخَرْتُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى I sought Allah's permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala, في جمع 40 حديثاً, to compile the 40 hadiths, اِقْتِدَاءً بِهَاُولَاءِ الْأَئِمَّةِ, following the way of these scholars that I had mentioned, al-A'lam, very known people who are followed, وَحُفَّاظِ الْإِسْلَامِ, and the great scholars from the scholars of Islam. He said, so I made istikhara. After I thought, let me do like them, I made istikhara. Or I made istikhara so that I can do like they did. Compile as they compiled. Alayhi rahmatullah. He now said, وَقَدْ اتَّفَقَ الْأُلَمَاءُ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ بِالْحَدِيثِ الضَّعِيفِ فِي فَضَائِلِ الْأَعْمَالِ Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. He said, the scholars are agreed. They have a consensus that someone can act upon a hadith that is weak. This statement is not correct, according to the scholars of Islam also. And many hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make us understand that awalan there is no ittifaq, there is no consensus that someone can act upon weak narrations in fadail al-a'mal. Fadail al-a'mal are, for example, there is a hadith that anybody who performs 8 rak'ah after Salatul Maghrib is considered amongst the awabin. This hadith is weak. There is hadith, anyone who, for example, anyone who sits down in the masjid between Salatul Zuhr and Asr, he will have 40 houses in Al-Jannah. Things like this. So for us to act upon any hadith that is encouraging us regarding any good deed, we must be sure that the hadith is what? Authentic. So that Imam al-Nawawi said, Istafakul ulama, there is no ittifaq. There is no ittifaq. The first hadith that makes us understand that is the hadith in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, man haddatha anni hadithan yura annahu kazbun fahuwa ahadul kazibain. Anyone who reports any hadith about me, yura annahu kazb, it is being doubted to be, it's not likely to be true. Perhaps it's a lie. It's not sure to be right. It's not sure to have come actually from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who still goes on to narrate such things and affiliate them to me, فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَاذِبَيْنِ is one of two liars. The first liar is the one who originated the lie itself and attributed it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second one is the one who is propagating it. So we must understand that. So that makes us understand that how can the scholars now come and agree that you can use the weak narration? Something you cannot affirm its ascription to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Also he said alayhi salatu wa salam that kafa bil mar'i kaziban an yuhaddisa bi kulli ma sami'a. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, it suffices to say that somebody is a liar when he narrates everything he hears. Everything he hears, Prophet says, narrating it without verifying, is it authentic or not? So this makes us understand that there cannot be a consensus on that. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, alayhi rahmatullah, in his book, Al-Umm, he said, Kana ibn Sirin, he said, Ibn Sirin was from among the students of the companions. He lived in the house of Anas bin Malik for many years. And there were 6 of them. They called them Al-Sirin. They called them Al-Sirin, from the eminent scholars of Islam. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, wa Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nahi, also one of the greatest scholars of Islam, وَغَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِّنَ التَّابِئِينَ and more than one of those who came after the companion, or one of the students, more than one of those who are the students, from the students of the companions, يَذْهَبُونَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَقْبَلُوا الْحَدِيثِ they view that the hadith should be accepted. إِلَّا except from that the hadith, إِلَىٰ أَلَّا يَقْبَلُوا الْحَدِيثِ that the hadith should not be accepted. إِلَّا أَمَّنْ عَرِفَ وَحَفِظَ except from somebody who arifa is known or who knows, he's known, he knows the narrations, or hafizo, and he properly memorizes. Because if they say a narrator of a hadith is weak, what they are saying is that we don't trust his reporting. Even in our day-to-day affairs, you are in the office, someone comes to you and says, look, they've just signed 1 billion now for you. You say, you? Is it you that I will believe? So if you can't believe that regarding day-to-day affairs, why will you believe that regarding Allah and his messenger? So he says that these scholars opine that Allah yakbalu al-hadith. No hadith should be accepted. Illa amman arifa wa hafiza. Except from the one who knows the hadith. Because people even say what they don't know. They are saying it, but they are ignorant of what they say. Wa hafiza. And his retention is reliable. When he's telling you that on the 24th of December last year, so and so happened, you can, I trust you, I know you, you don't forget dates. These things happen even amongst us. We trust people's memory and we also distrust people's memory. So when we know people and we distrust their memory, do we still rely on their narrations? It doesn't mean that they are lying, but we are just saying that we can't rely on it. And Allah cannot transmit his deen through unreliable means. If their memory is unreliable, that is not from that Allah's deen will not be transmitted through unreliable means. If even day-to-day affairs amongst men are not reliably transmitted through unreliable means, why should Allah's deen be transmitted through unreliable means? So when you say a hadith is weak, what you are saying is that it is not reliable. Those who reported it, 1, 2, 3, or 4 amongst them is not reliable person who can report to us what the Prophet said. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So Imam Shafi alayhi rahmatullah said, these are the un. They are saying that we should not accept narrations except from those who know what they report and who actually are retentive. I mean, who have good retention to memorize and say, Prophet says so, and we could be sure that yes, he said so. Alayhi salatu wasalam. He said further, Imam Shafi, Muhammad ibn Idris, Abu Abdullah, he said, wa ma ra'aytu ahadan min ahli al-ilm. I did not see anyone from the scholars, from the people of knowledge, min ahli al-ilm bil hadith, from the scholars of hadith, yukhalifu hadha al-madhhab, who is going against this position. He said, wa kana Tawus, al-imam Tawus ibn Kisan alayhi rahmatullah, one of the students of Abdullah ibn Abbas, he's from Maghrib here in Africa, Tawus ibn Kisan. He said, idha haddathahu rajulun, if a person comes to him and gives him narration, qala, he will say, إن كان حدثك حافظ مليء وإلا فلا تحدث به. If the person who gave you this hadith, who said he heard Prophet said, or who said that he is reporting from someone who heard that someone said that Prophet said, is a حافظ, someone who retains his narrations, مليء ثقة, someone who is reliable, Mali'un is someone who is jaleel, noble, lakin mali'un, sikotun, someone who is reliable. So hafizun, someone who retains his narrations. Mali'un, someone whose character is trustworthy. If he gives you a report, naam, report it, act upon it. But someone who, subhanallah, his deen is questionable, not only that, when he says something, he's hardly right, he's hardly correct, then don't narrate his report. Tawus ibn Kisan is from the Tabi'un. So this makes us understand that what Imam al-Nawawi said, that وَقَدْ اتَّفَقَ الْعُلَمَاءَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ بِالْحَدِيثِ الضَّعِيفِ, it's not like that. Alayhi rahmatullah. Many scholars have said that too. That's why we went to bring those before him, like al-Imam al-Shafi, and then the hadith of the Prophet we had read to us. So this position is a weak position. Yet he said, alayhi rahmatullah, he said, ma hava, even despite that, despite the fact that people accept weak narrations, falaysa i'timadi ala hadha al-hadith, I'm not relying on that hadith, so that weak hadith. So some people would like to use this statement from Imam al-Nawawi to rely on weak narrations. That in the Nawawi said, the scholars have agreed. He's still saying he's not relying on it. So if the scholars have truly agreed, why will he not rely on it? So he is saying he's not relying on weak narration, even when he told you that scholars agree. But you didn't know what scholars say, you want to rely on weak narrations. So weak narrations are not reliable. He says, "Ma hadha falaysa i'timadi ala hadha al-hadith." Despite what I have said, I'm not relying on this hadith. Bal ala qawlihi. Rather, what I'm relying upon is the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fil ahadith as-sahiha, in authentic narrations, that the Prophet said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "La yuballigh ash-shahidu minkum al-ghaiba." Let those who witness narrate to those who come later. That is, you have a narration, you know it. Those who are coming later narrate to them. So he has compiled for us what he has heard about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa qawluhu, and the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nabbara Allahu imra'an, may Allah brighten the face of the man, sami'a maqalati, who hears my words, fa wa'aha, and then memorizes and takes to them, fa addaha kama sami'aha, and then he narrates them as he has heard them. So he's saying, I'm narrating to you what I've heard also from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He continued, it will be some faster because of time. He said, summa min al-ulama man jama' al-arba'in. Imam Nawawi said, and then there are some of the scholars who compiled 40 hadiths, fil usuli din, and regarding things that has to do with the aqidah of Islam, wa ba'duhum fil furu', and others in things that has to do with salah, zakah, and all these. They consider things like these that are not aqidah directly related. Some of them consider it as furu, even when there are question marks regarding that. وَبَعْضُهُمْ فِي الْجِهَادِ. Some compiled narrations on issues of jihad, like we mentioned Al-Imam Suyuti alayhi rahmatullah. وَبَعْضُهُمْ فِي الزُّهُدِ. Some compiled regarding taking this dunya easy, taking it easy with the world and its affairs as a manner of worship. وَبَعْضُهُمْ فِي الْأَدَابِ. Some of them compiled narrations regarding issues of manners, etiquettes of doing something. وَبَعْضُهُمْ فِي الْخُطَبِ. Some of them also compile narrations of things that you hear that serve as admonitions to you. وَكُلُّهَا مَقَاصِدُ صَالِحَةٌ. All of them are good intentions. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْ قَاصِدِيهَا. May Allah shower His blessings upon all those who intended those good intentions for compiling what they compiled. He said, وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ جَمْعَ أَرْبَعِينَ ahamma min hadha kullihi. I have considered it most appropriate to compile a book of 40 narrations that will encapsulate all of what these people have done. Do you understand? Somebody did jihad, adab, my own will gather everything together. Wahi arbauna hadithan. There are 40 narrations. Mushtamilatun ala jami'i zalik. That will encapsulate all of what we had mentioned earlier. Wa kullu hadithin minha. And each of the hadiths in this book is now telling us about his methodology of compilation. He said, وَكُلُّ حَدِيثٍ مِّنْهَا. And each of the hadiths that I have quoted in this book, قَوَائِدَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِّنْ قَوَائِدِ الدِّينِ. They are from very great foundations, from the fundamentals of the deen. وَقَدْ وَصَفَ الْأُلَمَاءَ كُلَّ حَدِيثٍ مِّنْهَا. The scholars have mentioned regarding each of the hadiths in the book, بِأَنَّ مَدَارَ الْإِسْلَامِ عَلَيْهِ. That it is has to do with the matters, all the matters of Islam encapsulate it or move around it, like we mentioned, man ahadatha fi amrina hadha. You know, about everything in Islam goes around that hadith. So he said alayhi rahmatullah that our huwa nisful Islam, or things regarding, they said it is half of Islam, like innamal a'malu binniyat. It is half of Islam because actions comprise of two things, the intention, which must be right, and the action itself, which must be right. So it is half of Islam, half of the deen, intentions. Our sulusuhu, or things they say, it is a third of Islam, wa nahwi zalik, and things like that. Summa altazimu fi hadhihi al-arba'in. In this book, I'm going to be strict, I'm going to keep to, in these 40 hadiths, an takuna sahihatan, that all of the hadiths in it are sahih. We'll talk about that as we read every hadith in the book, inshallah. Wa mu'azzamuha. And most of the ahadith in this book, fi sahihayn Bukhari wa Muslim, they are in the two sahih of Bukhari and Muslim. Wa adhkurha mahzufat al-asanid. I'm going to mention them, removing the isnad, the chain of transmission from the Prophet to me. I will not mention them. I will just mention the name of the companion. He mentioned the reason why he did that, alayhi rahmatullah. Liyas hula hifzuha. So that memorizing them will be easy. Wa ya'umul intifa'u biha. And then the benefits will spread. It will be more benefiting, and memorizing it will be easier, inshallah ta'ala. by the mercy of Allah. Because Allah says, وَلَا تَكُلَّنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَائِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. So he quickly said, I will do this, so inshallah, if Allah wills. He says, ثُمَّ أُتْبِئُهَا, then I'm going to follow these 40 narrations, بِبَابٍ فِي خَفِيٍّ أَلْفَاظِهَا, with a section that will discuss some difficult words in the hadith. Do you understand? A word is difficult, he will explain. A word is difficult, he will explain. وَيَنْبَغِي لِكُلِّ رَاغِبٍ فِي الْآخِرَةِ, those who seek to meet Allah well on the day of Qiyamah, it is necessary, أَنْ يَعْرِفَ هَذِي الْأَحَادِيثِ, that they know these ahadith, لِمَا اشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمُهِمَّاتِ, because of what they contain of things that are very, very tremendously important. وَحْتَوَتْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ التَّنْبِيهِ, and what they also contain of words of caution, Allah Jami'u Ta'at, regarding all actions of worship. He said, وَذَلِكَ ظَاهِرٌ لِمَنْ تَدَبَّرَهُ, that is just clear for anyone who thinks about those narrations. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ اِعْتِمَادِي, my reliance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِلَيْهِ تَفْوِيدِي, and to him I repose my confidence. وَاسْتِنَادِي, and in him I place my hope. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَالنِّعْمَةُ, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ni'ma, all benefits and favors, they belong to him, and he grants it to whom he wills. Wa bihi tawfiq, he is the one who truly grants success to anyone that for whom he intends success. Wa al-isma, and he is the one who also grants protection away from mukhalafat al-shari'iyah, for someone not to go against sharia, Allah grants it. So he prays for that for himself and for the rest of us. Fa inshallah, this is the muqaddimah of al-imam al-Nawawi for his book. We'd not like to cut it and then continue next week. So we quickly rushed, and we had explained from the beginning things that will make the rest part of the book, the rest part of the Muqaddimah, clearer to us, inshallah. But regarding things that are not perhaps very clear to us, we may have the rest of the time to ask our questions, hoping that we'll be able to answer, or request others to answer, or come back another time to tell us, or just tell us we don't know, Allahu Alam. So if there are 1, 2, 3 questions, inshallah, we attempt to answer them. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam. One. It's gone, inshallah. Bismillah.
Regarding what you said about the
Abu Dhabi. Now.
Do you mean it is wrong to name a child Abu Dhabi?
Yes. If it is intending that child is Habibullah, Allah loves this child. How do you know that Allah loves him?
I don't understand.
Okay.
David is intending that Allah loves the child.
Yes. Because the love of Allah is from the attributes of Allah. They are from the sifat of Allah, al-fi'liyah. They are from the action-related attributes of Allah, as-sababiyah, that something brings about it. There is a general love of Allah for all creatures. That's general, because even kufar, Allah shows mercy upon them and all this. But when you talk about loving, being pleased with, something brings about it. That's why he was saying, يُحِبُّ التَّوَابِينَ. So those who make tawbah, Allah loves them. يُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. He says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبُبُكُمُ اللَّهُ. If you follow me, Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And then he will forgive you your sins. So someone who is not even doing those actions, or someone who is doing the action and he is still with himself, yeah, Allah loves me. How do you know that Allah loves you? You can say Allah loves those who do so action. Do you understand? Because that love of Allah is an attribute of Allah that is an action. That attribute of Allah, something brings about it, which is the action someone puts forward. So a child that is just born today, he has not done anything. He's not doing any tawbah. He's not doing anything. You name him Habibullah. How do you know? Because the love of Allah is something Allah tells us about. Because we don't know what is in Allah until he tells us, this is what I am doing. So if you say Allah loves this one, how do you know? This is away from saying Allah showers his mercy upon people and all this. But when you talk about Allah's love, something causes it. From what we had mentioned. Because it is from sifat of Allah, al-fi'liyah, as-sababiyah. It's from the attributes of Allah that has to do with his actions that is brought about by something. Do we understand? It's not clear.
Sorry, the reason why I'm asking is
because okay. What we'll just do, we'll say, may Allah love him. You too, you will say, Ameen. You didn't say, Ameen. But that we pray that for someone does not really mean Allah loves him.
But we hope
that. So if you hope that, do you have an assurance for that? Because you will still be calling him Habibullah, Habibullah. So that time you are calling him Habibullah and you are not sure that he is Muhib of Allah. You are just hoping that he is Muhib of Allah. Based on what is it, and that's why you will not find I can assure you that you will not find from the companions or from the tabi'un or from those who came before, from the eminent people amongst the people of Sunnah who bear that name, Habibullah. Those kind of names became popular in the Indo-Pakistani subcontinent. When people began to name themselves and their children Ghulam or Rahman, what's the meaning of Ghulam? Son, the son of Rahman. And when the Jews called themselves that they are the beloved of Allah, what did Allah say to them? He said, Allah said, وَقَالَتْ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى نَحْنُ أَبِنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاؤُهُ. We are the beloved of Allah. What did Allah say? قُلْ فَلِمَا يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. Tell us then, why are you punished for your sins? Allah loves you, Abi. Why is he punishing you? If he loves you. So you will not see any statement that encourages that someone should lay claim to that kind of a thing for himself or for another person. So all you say is, except if you have a text like Usama ibn Zayd, in that case, even say Habibullah, you say Habibur Rasul, and his father Zayd ibn Harith, ibn Haritha, they are both beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you can make the statement generally, Allah loves the Muslims, yes. Allah loves the companions. Yes. He says, مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَصَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Allah will love them, they will love Allah. Yes, you can say that Muslims love Allah. The Anbiya love Allah. But when you now begin to specify, as we spoke about when we were talking about Matayadam, you will need proof for that. The same thing concerning Khalil. But Khalil is, if the person is Ibrahim, and you say it's Khalilullah, you are intending that you are describing Nabi Ibrahim and you are not describing that person. But the name came to that person because the person is bearing the name Ibrahim. Then it is right. Habib. Habib. Habib, come on. Now, somebody is raising the hand from here. Walaikum Assalam. He's saying, if someone, can you come a little closer so that they can hear you too, inshallah?
See, my question is regarding Jumu'ah prayer.
Now,
when one comes to the mosque and the man is making khutbah, one is still expected to perform prayer for mercy. But in the case where one stays outside, maybe the mosque is stayed up already, are you still including in that heart?
Yes.
Only there are those of our arguments that are
Allahu Musta'an. Can we make Tahiyyatul Masjid two quick units of prayer outside the mosque on the Jum'ah day? Yes, because at the time and on that day, that outside takes the ruling of inside. That place where you are outside on Fridays take the ruling of as if you are inside the mosque. Everything you do in the mosque, you do it there. So the outside there takes the ruling of being in the mosque. So you make tahiyyatul masjid and it is obligatory. The correct opinion on tahiyyatul masjid is that it's obligatory. If you come into a masjid, don't sit down till you have made two rakats at least. Very, very important. The only place where you will not do that and you will not sit down is Masjidul Haram. If you come into Masjid al-Haram, you want to make tawaf al-kudum, just go ahead and make your tawaf. But if you want to sit down to first of all relax, maybe you are coming from Medina and you are tired, before you sit down, you must make two rakats. Allahu alam. The Agaji on Fridays, they go about, Imam is making khutbah, they are still moving about. What I can remember now is that most times when the khutbah actually starts, what happens is that people do fake khutbahs on Jummah that the Prophet has prohibited them, but they have refused this prohibition from the Prophet Muhammad. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma reported that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Naha al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil hilak qabla al-khutbati yawm al-jum'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited sitting in learning circles, sitting and then teaching before the khutbah. The Prophet prohibited it. So what the companions do on the day of Jummah when they go to the masjid is they make two rakats until the imam comes, until he comes alayhi salatu wasalam. Or they sit down making azkar until the imam comes. Nobody stands up and starts talking. You see, Prophet is coming, inshallah. One day somebody wanted to prove that it is right. He went to quote a statement from a munafiq, that Allah made us to know that he's munafiq, to use as evidence. Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Someone who died, Prophet wanted to pray on him. Allah says, La takum fi abada. Don't go and stand near him forever. They wanted to seek forgiveness. So I said, La istakfir lahu la tastakfir lahu. Fa in tastakfir lahu fa la yakfir Allah lahu. That is the person wants to use for evidence. That Ibn Ubay ibn Salul himself used to come out on Jummah before Prophet comes out to talk to people. In the first place is that his chain of narration is weak. And unfortunately, if you want to take to a practice, do you take to the practice of Ibn Ubay ibn Salul, a munafiq, non-munafiq, and you throw away the prohibition of the Prophet of Allah because you want to shine? Because what you find in many of the people who do this pre-khutbah is they use it to shine. They use it to shine. Someone comes to mind and starts talking. So next week, they say, inshallah, next week, we are going to bring Sheikh Fula ibn Fulan from Germany. People say, inshallah, inshallah. This is wrong. The Prophet prohibited it. And he said, Izan haytukum an shayin fajtanibuhu. If I prohibited you from something, move away, abstain. So, what I observe, Allahu A'lam, is that the Agaji used to do this thing when these people are doing their fake prohibited pre-sermon. That is when those Agaji go around. I don't think I can remember seeing a Agaji still moving around when the actual Imam comes on the minbar. But if it happens, they should know that they are making mukhalafa to Rasul. They are wasting their Jummah. What did he say, alayhi salatu wasalam? Man massa al-hasa faqad laga. The one who touches a stone like this, maybe his handset. And that's why when you go to the masjid on Friday, don't waste your Jummah with your handset. Off it and put it in your pocket where you will not see it again. Where you will not have to be offing it. So it's good to place those things in a place where you not see. So you not be touching it, holding it. And when you take your children to the masjid on the day of Jummah, take children who will not be standing up. And because you waste your Jummah. You waste your Jummah. So if the Agaji are still doing it, I don't think they are doing it. But it is possible that they do it. If they are doing it, they risk wasting. In fact, they waste their Jummah, even if they say they don't know. Because the hadith of Muaz ibn Jabal and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where Ibn Mas'ud told him this. He saw him doing something. He said, you have wasted your Jummah. He told him straight, you have wasted your Jummah. He said, I didn't know. Why? What did I do? He said, I saw you touching something. And Prophet said, anyone who's touched something, not listening attentively to the Imam, has missed his Jummah. You have missed your own. So they will start performing new Jummah from the time they knew and they stop. So when we go for Salatul Jummah, we should observe these small things. They destroy the Jummah. Allahu A'lam. Alaykum As-Salaam. So what they do is wrong in a nutshell. Please, last question, inshallah.
The only have option when the Imam is calling, when I won't enter the mosque, to perform or do what the Prophet can ask.
Well, there is no, to my knowledge, any hadith that prevents someone from making nawafil when the adhan is going on. That is authentic. I do not know any authentic hadith that prevents someone from making nawafil when the adhan is going on. But what can be said regarding that is that the adhan is something that will be made and it will go. So you make it, respond, and then you make your nawafil. It is sure that you can't make the nafil, you can't make the nafil and then be responding to adhan. But you can respond to adhan and then make the nafil, but it will be too quick units of prayer. So Allahu Alam, if a person does it, Allahu Alam, it may be difficult to say he has done something wrong. But the one surely who responds to the muazzin and then makes his nafil is sure, of course, going to gain more benefits than the other one who has left out responding to the muazzin. Allahu Alam. Akulu ma akulu hadha wa astaghfiru lahi wa lakum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanakallah.